Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Sri Setiono from University of Nebraska. So because the time is limited for the presentations, I don't have a slide for introduction and background, so I'm just going to mention in this slide here. Our goal is to construct a tool in order to fine-tune management for soybean at a high yield level. We want to arrive there by using a good science, the best possible science, but at the same time has to be compensated by practicality also. Like the previous speakers mentioned about how much knowledge that we use in the modeling sometimes also comes with a complexity. So that's it's always in the philosophy of our development. We try to make it simple, but at the same time, we want to use the best possible science. So the model that we construct, it's called SoyGrade, Soybean Growth and Development. This is the flowchart of the overall model. If you see this flowchart, it's somewhat similar to one of the Dutch-derived model called GE Cross or Get Cross. Here we have the phenology component. And then we have the biomass accumulation and partitioning, and then the leaf area related processes here, and the yield and yield components in these sections. And the outer of this box represents the systems, and the outside represent variables that influencing into the model. We have temperature, day length, solar radiations. I use CO2. We're going to see later on, because we use the Farquhar method to come up with the photosynthesis. A little different than the traditional approach in the other model, that we don't use concentrations per se, but it's actually the partial pressure of CO2. That's why the pressure come into place in this, becoming important if we deal with different altitudes of the location. So we have also population density management input, stem terminations, so, and maturity group, the choice that farmer make. Irrigations also, because we're dealing with leaf expansions. I think one of the previous speakers also mentioned that leaf expansion is very sensitive to water stress. Before some of you might have questions, because in the title it says optimum condition and why I'm dealing with water right here, I just answer it that because there's optimum concept we are using here in term of the crop production, it's not optimum in term of growing a plant in the lab, for example, just never a stress. But if you're growing plants in the field, it's going to be a day-to-day minimum, like a mild stress. And also for soybean, especially if you try to irrigate early on, it's going to cause a lodging issue at the end of the season. So optimum in terms of the farming systems, and that's why we put the water aspect early on, especially in the process that are more sensitive, which is leaf expansion in here. So the leaf area index as a sink-driven process. Determined by the leaf function as a sink, or leaf function get the source of the carbon through this dry matter approach using specific leaf area and partitioning from the dry matter in here. I'm going to go not through all of this detail, because some of this you can go through the publication that we have, for example, the phenology. I have some handouts listing all the references that I mentioned here. Feel free to take one. The biomass accumulation, we taking from the similar approach to the Wolfos model, the Dutch-derived crop model. Basically, we use the gross respiration and the partitioning factor here. We simplified into just two components, the above-ground dry matter and below-ground coefficients. And the gross respirations is a function of net assimilation and maintenance respiration, which responds to the temperature with the Q10 function. The integrations of the photosynthesis into the whole canopy, we use the similar approach as intercom model, which distinguishes between direct and diffuse radiations, and also looking at the sunlit and shaded leaves. And the third one is most importantly why we choose using the intercom instead of the typical Wolfos approach. Is reflected in these equations where you're dealing with the leaf area distribution along the canopy. Why is it important for soybean? Because soybean is a fourth type crop which has the density of the leaves actually to the top of the canopy instead of the middle, like corn, for example, which means the Gaussian approach and the traditional Wolfos won't work with that for that kind of crop. That's why we need different functions to account for the density difference. This is the leaf level photosynthesis. We use the Farquhar method. Basically, we look at two different process. One is the light limited process, and then the other one is the carboxylation limiting process. The carboxylation process basically responds to the concentration of oxygen, partial pressure of oxygen and partial pressure of carbon dioxide with this Michaelis-Menten double input function. The light-driven reactions is using the methods by Harley, where we look at the absorbed photosynthetic active radiations using a light use efficiency. And this PML here is the light optimum of photosynthesis, which is a function of temperature and also leaf nitrogen content. Dark respirations also come into equation here, and this is the using an Arrhenius function, which use the physical term of activation energy and a gas constant. Steve mentioned earlier that this symposium is sponsored by the C3. S1. So, and share a common concept. One of them is the use of physics and also the use of mathematical language. And this is some of the response of the photosynthesis process, the Farquhar methods that we modified. You see here, this temperature, this one, and the ordinate is the photosynthesis at optimum light, so it's a function of temperature. If you look at the temperature optimum, it's about 33 degrees. And here is the temperature optimum affected by light and also the nitrogen content. This one is the CO2 response. As you increase the CO2, increase the photosynthesis. This is the observed data from our field, and this is the literature data. The yield and yield components, probably one of the strongest point of this model, is because what we do is something that have never been done, that taking some of the knowledge that never been put in the model, that is using the concept by Seldrak first proposed, that the reproductive number of reproductive sites are determined by the threshold of amount of assimilates available during the specific time before the seed before the seed growth. So that's reflected in the equations which Charles Edwards proposed, which we modified. And in this equation here, we look at the available assimilates during the seed determination, the time when plants will determine the number of reproductive sites. And that's also influenced by the partitioning factor. And that's the maintenance respirations also going to subtract from that amount. And on the denominator side, we have the demand of the each reproductive. So if you increase the demand at that time, then you reduce the number of seeds, a number of reproductive sites. So the interaction of these reflect a new concept of sinks and source approach, because when we're dealing with sinks and source, often people thinking that it's something, a circular argument that never can be solved, but we found that you can use it and for your advantage in order to be more mechanistic and simulating the yield component. The demand of the seed, we simulated with the logistic curve. This is the first derivative of the logistic curve, which is also influenced by the maintenance respiration. This is some of the response curve. This is the partitioning factor for the determination of the seed number. As you see, notice that it happens earlier after R1. R1 is the flowering, the first flower. And that's reflected also in the formation of number of seeds early on. We still need to validate this data yet, because we only have final data at this point. This is the individual seed growth function of day after R1. And this is the final product, basically those equations earlier that I showed. So we have the seed dry matter, which is, if you convert it to the harvest, 13%, about probably 10% higher than this. You see also the observed data representing two different cultivars and two different years. This is the combined the total dry matter simulations and also the seed dry matter simulations, just to show here that what we use to simulate this is very different in terms of the yield formations. Some of the approach use the harvest index concept, and if you can see here, we can't do that, because if you increase the biomass, that doesn't translate into a higher yield, which is in agreement with one of the poster also showing that by James Bort, that the harvest index is negatively correlated with yield. We also found that too here. So this some of the conclusion that we have, that we are able to simulate with reasonable accuracy, but also try to use a best underlying assumption as possible. As far as the practical applications, this is applied for the two-part epiphenology and the leaf area index component, that we try to make it simpler. Basically minimize the input requirements. If you know maturity group and stem termination type, that's pretty much what you need to simulate that. But the biomass accumulations, even though it requires a lot of input parameters at this time, we speculate that's only specific for species. That means if you change maturity group, more likely it's not affected, the process. For further understanding of the key process and limiting soybean growth and especially yield, we're hoping that this model can be a useful tool, because we're using some of the new concept of the process. With that, I'll take any questions if we have time.